Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and I'm pleased today to have back as my guest Ivan Rados. Today we are talking about his sacred geometry cards and book entitled Transform Your Life Through Sacred Geometry. Ivan is a internationally recognized artist, and the cards are absolutely gorgeous. And he is also a spiritual teacher with a great deal of wisdom to impart through not only through the cards, but through the book that accompanies the cards, as well as other works that can be found at www.ivanrados.com. Welcome, Ivan.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me again.
You're welcome. I've been a student of sacred geometry for many years. In fact, Dan Winter used to stay at my house, and so every time when I'd come home from a long day of surgery, usually around 11 p.m., I'd get the latest course on sacred geometry from Dan. So I really have been a student of sacred geometry for many years. I think the listening audience may not understand what sacred geometry is and why it's so critical in terms of creation and metaphysics. Would you like to talk a little bit about sacred geometry?
Sacred geometry, it's sacred and it's about geometry. I mean, it's
a
huge and wide topic.
Things.
So how to squeeze and squash something which is infinite as sacred geometry? I will try my best to explain something which is in a way unexplainable. And I don't know how I know, but I know that I know it. That's self-evident fact for me. So I'm going to share it with you. Some understanding. So, sacred geometry involves sacred universal patterns used in the design of everything in our reality. When I say everything, I mean from the atom, from atom and to the star, everything in between. Most often, sacred geometry is seen in, let's say, sacred architecture through the history, from pyramids to Mayan, artifacts and buildings, building of churches and the sacred places, in sacred art through the history. So the basic belief is that the geometry, mathematical ratio, harmonics and proportions, are also found in music, light, cosmology. This value system is seen as a widespread even in prehistory, cultural universal of the human conditioning. Sacred geometry is considered fundamental to building sacred structure, such as temple, mosques, megaliths, monuments, churches, as I said, sacred spaces such as altar, meeting place such as sacred graves, village greens, holy wells, and the creation of religious art like iconography, murals, using divine proportions. So alternatively, sacred geometry based arts may be such as visualization, sand painting, and medical wheels, sacred in its base, in its core, essential inner self. So, sacred geometry may be understood as
As a plastic surgeon, we are trained in sacred geometry in terms of aesthetics. In other words, the ideal human face and the proportions of the body are based on the golden mean.
That's right. That's right. So entire universe is based on golden mean. And, the golden mean is based on flower of life. And the flower of life, essence of flower of life, or essence of golden mean of or any sacred geometry is the primordial source of everything represented as one dot, or called bindu, or a seed, or a sperm. That's the dot you see in the center of that creation, of that image, or that symbol, a sacred geometry. So, you know, through the history, as I said, sacred geometry has been used as a sort of machine or instrument in architecture, astronomy, astrology, alchemy, chemistry, recreation. But in the spiritual context, the sacred geometry has been used as an experiential geometrical tool intended for meditation and to increase of awareness, functioning as a conduit of ultimate truth, holding the energy structures of consciousness. I call that consciousness, infinite consciousness. This is primordial oneself, source of everything. It provides the balanced gross forms which evoke the subtle form, formless energy of inner vision. You see, that from that inner vision, all obstructions are coming out as circumstantial manifestations. Whatever you see, whatever you sense, whatever you imagine, whatever you dream of.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to add a little bit here. We just had the Truth Convention here in Atlanta, and David Wilcox was educating us on the pineal gland. And I don't know whether the listeners know it, but in the pineal gland there are rods, just like in the eye, and there's also photons in there. So literally, it has the same mechanism that our eyes do. Our eyes have physical sight, but our pineal gland has visions and spiritual sight with actual photons and rods, which is really wild. And probably the waking up portion of when you start to develop spiritual sight is really the waking up and functioning of that pineal gland.
Yeah, pineal gland in sacred geometry is seen as a primordial sacred geometry, as the archetypal sacred geometry. You see, archetypal, they have, you know, a couple of archetypal shapes and forms, like triangle, square, dot, line. So, you know, below or beyond those obstructions, those visible forms, there is that invisible form which cannot be described, holding all possibilities, and that's what that, you know, the pineal gland represents, that invisible form, and then expressing that ultimate wisdom through all other glands and manifesting as the perfect balance and harmony, harmonics of the body, of the machine called the human body, or biomachine called the human body. So pineal gland is the switchboard. It is the seat of our soul, which is invisible reality, invisible, while the body is the visible.
Right.
So, so pineal gland is talking through those geometrical patterns through entire body and making our body sort of like representation of entire universe.
The symbol for the pineal gland in history, which goes way back, past even before the Egyptians, is the pine cone. And the pine cone is actually found in, it was actually in the center of the Vatican, and it's symbolized, it has a phoenix on both sides and the pine cone in the middle, and it was actually the main, for many years, it was the main statue that you saw when you entered the Vatican. It's been moved since then, but if people, you know, want to understand that the pineal gland was known even by the Catholic Church, the early Church, as being very, very important for spiritual development.
Yes, because they knew that pineal gland is the center of universe.
Right, right.
It is the, it's not, you know, when we think about center of universe, we are always thinking about, you know, circumstantial, outside, you know, far, far, far from the galaxy, Milky Way, there is, might be some center, but there is no center outside. The center is in pineal gland. So, you know, pineal gland is, it's like, like God exists in Pioneer Gland, or the oneness or divine or wholeness exists in Pineal Gland. And
you know,
God or the oneness, sorry.
I was thinking pineal gland might be the interface between the outer worlds, which we are taught are illusionary or, you know, projections of consciousness onto matter.
That's right.
And the inner consciousness, which is where God resides, God is within. But the pineal gland may be the actual interface between those two.
It is the vortex. It is ultimate vortex or primordial vortex between two realities. Call it black hole. So black hole is the reality you see and sense. The white hole is the reality you don't see and you cannot sense. So we are pulled in between two realities. And, you know, and the pineal gland holds the key for the connection between that white and black world and transcendence of it. So, you know, pineal gland is the key secret for the enlightenment, or the key secret of understanding the entire structure of the universe. So you can go to the moon and this, you know, and travel the universe to try to understand the galaxies and the universe and you know, the mechanism of entire structure. But, you know, the key is in the pineal gland. We just have to close our eyes and look at our pineal gland. That's all.
And there's an energy, this was talked about at the conference, you know, it's not just every 26,000 years that we're in a cycle. We're actually in one galactic cycle, which is a much bigger cycle. It's actually, David said there's three cycles coming at, you know, in December of 2012, three cycles closed down. And what he says is that there's photon energy coming from the center of the galaxy because of this that is going to cause a mass awakening of people's pineal glands. So people
That's
start
right.
waking up and becoming conscious of the true nature of who we are and how we interface with the material world, and then also the importance of the inner world. Because most people don't know about the inner world. Even, you know, they don't understand what Buddha was talking about or Jesus was talking about. They don't get, because they don't experience it. And without experience, you have to have faith, because, you know, you got to believe that someone else is experiencing it. But I think everybody's going to get to experience it themselves.
Yes. You see, I wanted to, you know, just a couple of minutes ago, I wanted to explain what God is. God is God expressing itself through infinite pieces. And all the pieces individually and together act as God. So in that sense, we are all God. We are all wholeness. So we all hold the key of balancing two realities in oneness. So we are all equal and multidimensionally connected to each other. So one awakened being will spread the message, and entire humanity and entire universe will start awakening. So the center of galaxy, the center of our galaxy, is black hole, radiating waves of biophotons, changing everything along the way, affecting our pineal gland, because our pineal gland is the same black hole as the center of galaxy. It is the same. So if you change yourself, if you change your pineal gland, if you remember your family, when you become a member of the infinite family within, then you affect the change in entire galaxy and entire universe. So we are, as I said, we are the key for that tremendous transcendence, which is happening right now. So people are awakening.
It's a really exciting time to be alive. There's going to be a lot of changes in the outer world, because mass consciousness is going to evolve quickly.
That's right.
That every 26,000 years, this is a smaller cycle, every 26,000 years, or it's a little bit smaller than that, there's a great spike in what David called speciation. In other words, all of a sudden all these species start changing rapidly. And you can see that in the biological records. You know, this is all science. This is not this is, you know, you can go back and see this, that every 26,000 years, a whole bunch of new species come into being. And some species go out of being. You know, it's like some go away. But in the larger galactic cycle, which is much larger, what you see is root races changing. In other words, probably the vegetable kingdom starts going toward the animal kingdom more toward the human kingdom. I mean, right now we have dogs that are on Prozac and have psychiatrists. Think about that. And we have the humans going more into the spiritual kingdom. So this is actually a shift, a major shift in consciousness, because what separates all the kingdoms is the level of consciousness. And
that's right.
Spiritual evolution is not a linear thing. It occurs in spurts with each
galactic cycle. That's right. It is existential evolution, but in the same time, involution, because we are evolving, but we are involving. We are coming to the center. So that sacred geometry reveals that timeless truth, which is self-transcendental in the process of ultimate inner awakening.
So how did you choose? Well, first of all, let's talk about how many cards you have in the deck and how you chose the number and the types of cards that you chose. Did you do that through, like, kind of an inspiration process?
When I was a kid, while everyone was learning mathematics and science, I was drawing triangles and circles and combining them together, creating something called, you know, mandalas. And I reached my, let's say, you know, age 30, and I don't know how, I just had a dream, or it was not a dream, it was more like a vision. I was not even sleeping, I was in kind of, call it trance, but not trance. I mean, it's difficult to explain that. It's more like meditation, deep one, because I don't sleep, I discovered that 5 years ago. I don't dream as everyone else.
Mind awake.
Sorry?
Yeah. It's more like mind awake, body asleep.
That's right. I rest my body and my mind is not active, but my consciousness is at peace with itself. And then in that called inner vision, I was surrounded by geometry. I could see the tree as a geometrical form and people walking in very sacred geometry forms. And I woke up and said, wow, this is something I would like to explore. So, you know, I tried to read all kinds of books, but they were all, a logical, rational explanation about something which you cannot explain, but you can experience. So a couple of years later, I decided, that's it. I'm going to stop reading because it's not leading me, it doesn't lead me anywhere. So I went into meditation, and in my meditation, I would just, not intentionally, because intention is the mind being in state of tension. You know, you are being used by the mind, but in state of intent, pure one, I would just set up intent and say, motivation. What is motivation? I mean, I understand from my mind what motivation means, to be motivated to move, you know, further, to explore, to desire, to dream and journey. But what is real meditation beyond this reality? And then certain image will come to my mind, and I will observe that image imprinted in my mind, and I will come out of meditation and draw it. And then while I was drawing, the words were flowing, and I was educating myself, because education means to draw out your essence, to draw out your consciousness. So I was educating myself, and that's how 52 yantras or sacred geometry came about, and Namaste Publishing decided to publish that, it's available worldwide now, and lots of people are I'm receiving still emails from, everywhere, and people are really thankful for these those images and meditation cards, because they could see shift in perception, their shift in perception of reality and perception of themselves.
Well, the cards are stunningly beautiful. They're really great. I did the exercise that you recommend in your book and chose three cards. And I just want to share with people what what these were, and then you might comment on what they mean, okay? The first one is your past, and it is card number 33, transmuting sadness. So that's the past. The present is 35, feelings or emotions, and you have a nice little thing in your book about that. And then the future is love, 13. Now, why is love 13? Is there a reason love is part of 13?
You want to go into conspiracy?
Well, we just did that for 3 days here in Atlanta. We had everybody talking about conspiracies, yeah. Well, 13
is prohibited.
Disciples plus Jesus. You know, that's the 13.
Jesus is love, isn't it? He represents love.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And
yeah,
with the disciples,
but you see,
around him.
You know, if you go, 13 is somehow seen as evil number, as unlucky number, as something which should be avoided in all costs. So, for example, in Vancouver, I live in Vancouver, and so many buildings, they don't have 13th floor, they have 12th or 14th.
Yeah,
you see,
true.
So it's just so strange. I want to go and live on 13th floor. There is no way that you can do that.
Well, but do you know why that is? There's a reason that Friday the 13th was when the Pope decided to, eliminate as many Knights Templars as he could. So
yeah,
that's
because
really just
historical. He was trying to eliminate. A knowledge brought from Atlantis and Lemuria.
And also the
So,
the
Inquisition
the,
and prosecutions and killing, mass killing. I don't know how many million people died because they were holding the knowledge. So the knowledge has to be extinguished totally.
Plus people owed the money. And so, it's always not good when people owe you money. If enough people who owe you money get together, you might end up dead.
Yes.
This is
so,
true.
For example, in 1582, Pope Gregory established the 12-month calendar system, as well as the perfection of the 12 hours, 60-minute mechanical clock in 1600. So today, that calendar is called the Gregorian calendar. From that point on, the mechanical clock has been evolving for centuries, and it has become the heart of all machine technology today. So the establishment of this mechanical measurement of time can be seen as the materialization of the consciousness. It was done with a purpose, with intention, to really totally shut down the pineal gland, to shut down the knowledge, to kill the knowledge totally, that people dream and wish or desire to be in love, not to really accept that love within, because 13 is love, love for oneself. So this artificial instrument of time, So this artificial instrument of time or linear perception of reality through causes and consequences served only one person, purpose, the separation of consciousness from the existence. It created individual and global enslavement and global ignorance. We become misinformed, misguided, and our true connection with the true time become hidden in our unconsciousness.
Yeah, we even began to have the scientists saying that the brain created consciousness. backward.
That's right. So,
I interviewed Dr. Edward Close, who wrote a book called Transcendental Physics, and Dr. Close has actually mathematically shown that consciousness creates matter, not the other way around. It's really an amazing book.
That's right. The Gregorian calendar, for example, denies and covers up the true annual human biological cycle conserved in, for example, female body. The pattern of a female fertility circle averages the 28 days or 13 moon ratio. So we don't have 12 moon ratio. We have 13 moon ratios in 1 year.
Right.
So actually, the Gregorian calendar is a product of its predecessors. What do you say?
Predecessor. Yeah.
Predecessors. I'm sorry, my English. Okay, you understand what I want. You can read my. You can psychically read me. Okay. So the Julius Caesar's calendar and the early Roman Empire calendar. So, you know, he changed the calendar from 13-month system to his newly adopted 12-month version and included his family names as some of the months. August,
right.
Like,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Augustine, Julius, like July. This is ego-centered calendar. So that's where separation becomes, separation from the wholeness, in that establishment of that clock.
Yeah, and it actually took it away from the goddess energy, which was the 13, based on the female cycle, and changed it to a more male
dominated
calendar.
Yes, that's exactly. It's like what happened in the body because of that shift, or because of that introduction of 12 moon calendars, of that mechanical ticking clock. So we shift the energy from being totally balanced in our brain hemispheres, leaning more towards left side, which is more like logical, rational, male aspect. So we denied that creative aspect, holistic aspect of our right side of the brain, right hemisphere, neocortex. So in that sense, we all become sort of right-handed, because you see, you know that right hemisphere controls the left part of the body, while
left
the left controls the right part.
Right.
So we become sort of like wandering and searching and journeying for the female aspect of ourselves through the search for the love outside.
Like,
I have to find love outside. I have to fall in love with someone who is going to give me what I miss and what I need. And we are in that endless journey with no end. You see, and we will never ever find true love unless we balance ourselves through pineal gland. And pineal gland sits in the middle of two brain hemispheres.
That's true, it does. And it's important to understand that the love aspect on this, when you read the section in your book, it's love of the one. You know, love of self is not love of personal self. It's love of the one self.
One of
God.
Oneself is, it's called, it's not sentimental. It is the acceptance.
No.
When you
it's
accept everything that is, everything what is, then... you come to consciousness. You become conscious of oneself. And you become wholeness. You become God when you become conscious of oneself. So the entire structure, social structure, establishment, doesn't really like you to understand that ultimate fact, which is that you are the wholeness, you are God. So they would like to really give you a substitute. And substitute is the mind, embedded, imprinted with all kinds of consensus, beliefs, thoughts. You know, definitions, what's real, what's not. So there is the mind does not belong to you. It belongs to the society. So the consciousness is you, always within you, infinitely. So only when people accept the consciousness and expand the consciousness, then they will disconnect from social conditioning and influence the reality. That's what 2012 is about, global awakening, that people realize their individuality. And they are connectedness with the wholeness.
And once you understand that there is only one, then you behave differently too, because to hurt another is to hurt yourself.
No, you don't belong to herds. You are not a sheep. Mm-hmm. Even though you are a lion. So.
Right.
Yes. Yeah,
so in my present, that's in my future, love. In my present is feeling or emotions with a question mark. Do you want to explain the difference between feelings and emotions?
There's only one feeling, feeling of love.
Mm-hmm.
And there are infinite emotions, and emotions are compensations for lack of that one feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Emotion of love is not the same as real love. Emotion of love can be hate. You see, emotion of love can be
love, hate.
Conflict, can be bullying. I love you. I'm going to beat you because I love you. It's rational.
Mm-hmm.
It's rationalization.
Mm-hmm.
You see, emotions are just chemical components in the body interpreted by the mind as feelings.
Okay, that's
because
good,
the mind is compensation for lack of consciousness. The same way emotions are compensation for lack of one feeling, love.
Mm-hmm. So, what's the opposite of love?
There's no opposite of love. Love is one.
There's no opposite of love. Okay. Got it.
So there is emotional love, and the opposite of emotional love is hate, isn't it? But
emotional
love
is hate,
love.
But no opposite for that.
I really like your
one for gratitude. 52.
Gratitude.
Yeah, gratitude.
So can you be grateful that you're alive?
Right.
That's what gratitude is, being grateful that you're alive, because there is no meaning in life. There is no reason for you to be alive. So, you know,
right.
When you're grateful for being alive, then you are in fullness. You become God, being grateful for every single moment of your life, every single
mm-hmm.
now. Then there is nothing unconscious in your reality. You live according
mm-hmm.
to the ultimate law of one, because the moment is all that is. No past, no future, no expectations, no desires, nothing than now. Because now is all that is. And now is full of grace and full of gratitude for you recognizing it. So gratitude is the greatest spiritual attribute. People are not grateful for being alive. People complain all the time. People are unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
People whinge and people moan and people are in conflict and go to fight and try to change the reality.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, being grateful for your life, then it's the connection, it's the vortex
mm-hmm.
to wholeness.
It looks like a vortex, the card.
It's
a vortex of triangles.
That's right.
Which is creation.
Mm.
So how do you recommend that people use the cards?
You can pick up the card, you know. You can shift the card and pick the card intuitively. One card a day or one card a week or a month, doesn't matter. And then you look at the card and you read the explanation, the meaning of
mm-hmm.
the card. So knowing that my own meaning is not yours, but I'm sort of
mm-hmm.
indicating, I'm pointing to the direction. It's not about my finger pointing to the moon. It's about what I'm pointing to. So the meaning is
mm-hmm.
obviously yours. And after reading the meaning, then you look at the card. And looking at the center of sacred geometry image. And at the center, there is a dot. So that's your central vision. Peripheral vision, you just leave it to do it, you know, to do job on its own. You're not really giving energy and attention to the peripheral vision. You don't observe and analyze. You just stay at the dot. If you are looking at the dot for, let's say, more than 5 minutes, then the mind will slow its process. Less thoughts will be in your mind. Then you will come to the awareness of thoughts. And the thoughts will be less and less, less traffic in your mind, more space. And then when you close your eyes after 15 minutes of gazing at that one dot, that image will be embedded in your mind. And now you watch that image. And whatever you watch, you should be aware there's a distance. So when you are watching the image in your mind, there is a distance between you and the mind. between you and that image. And you are aware of the distance. And that distance, there is a space, but in inner reality is spaceless. Outside there is a space, but inside there is a spaceless. So you become aware of that spaceless, and the image disappears. It melts into darkness, and you become aware of oneself, watching oneself. And in consciousness starts increasing. It's like 50 minutes or 20 minutes of the meditation with sacred geometry will give you balanced state of being, harmonious state of being, and even you can heal yourself, meaning that you will allow your body to harmonize itself, because body is capable, able to heal itself naturally without you doing anything. You just have to find that relaxed state of being. So that's my book, Health is All About Consciousness, because it is all about consciousness. When you become conscious of oneself, then you relax. In that relaxed state of being, healthy cells will replace diseased, dysfunctional cells. And that multiplications and that division between healthy cells will give new freshness and new life to your organs and your tissues. So you don't have to do anything. You can heal yourself from cancer. You can heal yourself from all those terrible diseases. Because the reality of infinite oneness is changing all the time and harmonizing itself. It's part of the nature. So your body is part of the nature. So be natural, meaning be relaxed, and the nature will do healing for you.
We learned this weekend about some amazing things that can be, how frequency that it could be brought in on a light wave or probably even a sound wave, but a wave of some sort there's scientific experiments showing it can regenerate organs, it can heal cancer, it can even take the information from, say, one species of DNA and insert it into another egg, and then the thing that hatches is something that looks more like the first thing than the second. In other words, a chicken egg can produce something that looks more like a duck than a chicken if the duck DNA information is beamed into the chicken egg. Just some amazing, amazing stuff about how frequencies can heal major problems. So I was thinking you could take your cards and ask consciousness or God to show you the right card, since these are really physical manifestations of certain frequencies. And then if you meditate on it, then that might be the, you know, way you could heal a particularly difficult disease or a difficult problem. Have you people report that to you, that, I mean, maybe a serious depression or, you know, a serious cancer or something could be healed with the use of these cards?
I haven't received yet, but that people heal themselves from cancer, but from migraines, depression, certain stomach problem like digestions or arthritis as well, which is unbelievable. So with deep relaxation and precision awareness, along with a feeling sense awareness, as I said, feeling is one, and one love as it is for oneself, feeling sense awareness of inner witnessing, when you witness, it's meditation. One can allow the body to speak, to reveal the hidden information, and to heal. Because in every single cell, healthy cell, there is a hidden information from primordial source, from the beginning, from the beginning when the entire universe was created. In order to break through the barriers of biological bondage, consciousness needs to penetrate the depth of the human collective unconscious mind. This collective unconscious mind is written in the very genes of every human cell, in every drop of blood, and in every large or small bone in our body. Once the causes of dysfunction are removed, the body is then capable of restoring its fluidity and resonating with the whole existence in harmony. So when the conceptual beliefs, the attachments, the traumas, and all the repressed experiences stored in the body and controlled by the mind are removed, the free body, as a self-healing energy field, is capable of restoring its original harmonious function. That's why sacred geometry meditation is an essential tool to allow body to resonate with the wholeness, meaning ultimate infinite health.
Okay, I see that. Is there a particular, I mean, if somebody is going to meditate on one of these every day, is there a particular benefit to going through them in order?
No. No. You see, they are all unique. For example, strawberry can be beneficial for you, but can be harmful for me.
Right.
Really, we are unique. So we have unique consciousness. Yes, that consciousness is the oneness, but that's the beauty of the oneness, you know, like diversity and unity. So you don't have to go through 1, 2, 3, 4. This is, you know, you can jump and start from 13 to 18 and stop there. It doesn't really matter. You can meditate only on one card or pick up the three. Or you don't need the cards at all. If you can draw sacred geometry yourself, then you can meditate on that drawing. You see, or it's not about drawing. It's not about image, because image doesn't hold energy. The energy is in your consciousness, and the image acts as a mirror, nothing else, mirroring that balance and harmonious flow of energy from you, through you, to you.
So probably the best way would just be to randomly pick cards.
That's
out.
Right.
After you maybe ask for the highest and best, and then pick a card out for that day, or just if you're working on a particular issue, you might ask for the best thing for that particular issue.
That's right. That's right. The main, so for example, once you understand the card, and once you are in that deep inner understanding, you have to immediately transcend the dualistic rationalization. And you will be in the right direction. What is the right direction? The right direction is interacting with oneself, recognizing self as the primordial source of everything, as God, put it this way. Now in here, you have to dive into the abyss of nothingness and accept the death of your ego self. You have to let go while meditating with cards. You have to let go. Let go of everything you attach to. And give birth to your moment of now, your consciousness. The right direction is totally focusing on the observer and letting the observer and observed become one. So let the observer and observed too dissolve and observer with all that is. So you have to ask yourself, who is experiencing those images? Who is experiencing myself? If you're experiencing, you are not in the right approach. You are in your mind. If you are the
right
experiencer, you are in the right approach. So you are the one. And then you are in right direction towards wholeness. There is nothing to travel towards. It's just a word. So go through the right moment of now while meditating with cards and remain centered in your consciousness. The right now is the starting point for the proper way of looking and perceiving your realization. the essential difference between someone who has realized the now, the consciousness, God, oneness, and someone who has not is whether the ego mind intervenes or not, or whether someone allows the ego mind to obstruct the way by the thoughts. That's it. So when the right approach, the right realization is achieving nothing. When you achieve nothing, what do you have? You don't have tensed mind. You don't have tensed thoughts. You don't have fear and anxiety and stress. You disconnect from the social conditioning. Your mind becomes an open flute. No thoughts clogging the entrance. That's how divine or God enter through your empty mind and talking and having conversation or deep love, intimate relation with oneself. So the sacred geometry meditation cards are the ultimate tool to enlightenment. And enlightenment is nothing else than recognizing oneself as the source of infinite love right now and here. Love for all that is.
That's true. That's a good way to put it. The when you're in the eternal now, which is the only thing that really exists, you have a sense of being really outside of time, of space-time. I know that when I was doing intense meditations, by intense I don't mean, you know, just long, prolonged meditations, and practicing being in nothingness, a clock, if I would open my eyes and look at the clock, second hand, the one that did seconds, was not moving. And it was very interesting because you're not in space-time. You're
That's
truly
right.
in the eternal now. Yeah. There is no time in that state of being.
No. The time is collective agreement or collective belief about the real world, call it, you know, real world, but it's not real, it's imaginary world.
Right.
That real, apparent real world is subconsciously worshipped as if there is nothing else in reality. So we value time, we look at the clock, we interact with oneself with other people through time, through the clock. The real world is God's creation, and you can't dispute the will of God. What makes us long for a higher authority than our one self? What makes us long for a higher authority? Why do we place our trust in others to do all of our thinking for us? Everything in the world, everything we can perceive, exists within our five sense functions. For the ego mind, it is absolutely impossible for something to exist somewhere else other than these sense functions. That's the property of the time. Five senses live on circumstances, and if you continuously live on it, it will create a sort of self, a pseudo-self or ego-self, and give you a feeling of something and somebody. That's the ego. We have all been given labels, opinions, knowledge, thoughts from the outside, and belief in those labels. For example, label as my body, my name, my time, my culture, my country, my nation, my personality, my soul, myself. And we have become attached to circumstances and forgotten what real time is. We committed the original sin. We become the machines. So the body exists in the consciousness since the beginning, the identification with the time, it is the identification with objective reality, with the body. That's the only original sin. Buddha doesn't call it sin. He calls it an error. To call something a sin is to condemn and punish the person who has or has not created the sin. In the Bible, for example, Adam and Eve committed original sin by disobeying God, and the whole of humanity is now suffering. According to the Christian ideology, we are all sinners. That's their dogma. Once one decides that disobedience is the original sin, obedience becomes automatically a virtue. You have to be obedient. But to whom?
Right.
Obedience to the time. Obedience to the mind. Obedience to the slavery. To be unconscious is to be a slave. To work, mm-hmm. to be a machine, to be a disciplined and obedient. By being unconscious, we all become pathological, fragmented, mm-hmm. ugly, evil, and destructive. In our conceptual indoctrinated reality, God becomes perfect authority, and he will judge our imperfection eternally. Obedience is the original sin. Obedience to time. Obedience to ego mind. Obedience to non-existence. Obedience to blindness. Obedience to ego self. So we have to be disobedient. When you become disobedient to time, you realize that time does not exist. It is non-essential. It is non-existential. You enter the moment of now, and that's when God reveals itself in real shape and real form, which is formless and shapeless.
Right. And thereby comes the thing that hangs in my house as, on time is when I get there. How's that? Am I being disobedient to time or what?
Disobedient to time. That's why maybe I was late at the beginning because...
On time is when I get there. But you know what? I'm a surgeon, Ivan, right?
Sorry?
Yeah, Ivan, you know I'm a surgeon, right?
Oh,
remember I'm a surgeon. You may not remember that. And I can tell you they've never started an operation without me.
Yeah, I know. Operation is, I really love surgery. That's the only science I value. So my son wants to be a surgeon. Since he was 3, he was telling us.
Really?
I thought he would say that he wants to be an astronaut or hockey player. Since he was 3, mm-hmm. he was talking about being a surgeon. Now he's almost 13, and still there is that persistence and there is that determination to really succeed to be a surgeon. I said, wow, he's coming from unknown and bringing something new in this reality, his uniqueness mm-hmm. and determination to really have his, not dream, but his reality, to manifest.
Right. Well, I mean, I knew I was going to be a surgeon from a young age, I think. I was operating on things at a very young age, so I was either going to be a surgeon or a serial killer. So,
I hope that I'm not going to see you
on
the table.
I always wanted to know what was inside things in a way that little girls aren't supposed to.
Yeah, my son used to, when he, it's something triggered that decision. When he was 3, we were walking, we lived in England, we were walking the forest, and he saw the dead rabbit. And he was so curious, so wow.
He
said, is that human body, Dad? I said, yes, that's human body. So, inner organs of dead rabbit, human body.
Mm. Well, it's good that some people don't mind cutting open other things. You need that sometimes when things are broken. But time, like you say, we become slaves of time, and it's better to to realize, like a patient will come see me and they apologize profusely because they're 2 hours late. Well, things happen. There was a margarine. This is odd. There was a margarine truck right outside there's a big highway called 285 in Atlanta, and there's our exit. Right at the exit in 285, a margarine truck caught fire yesterday, and it burned for 12 hours, and it put margarine all over the highway, so it was slippery, and it was a mess. So you know what? On time is when you get there, and if you're 5 hours late because you're stuck in traffic, that's just the way it is. I never worry about it. I said, you're here now. Let's get started. But if people tend to be very stressed out if they're late, not good for your heart. I'm telling you that as a doctor, not good for your heart to be stressed out. You should never be stressed out over things you can't change.
If you live
kind of
in the moment of now, according to the law of one, nothing,
exactly.
nothing of you know, from this reality, you know, a terrible disaster will happen to you. No car crash, no people swearing, shouting, no mm-hmm. no problems, no diseases,
no angry
nothing.
Drivers.
No angry drivers. You will listen to your intuition.
It's true.
And the intuition will guide
true.
You through the dark yeah. forest.
It's yeah, true. And if I ever come upon an accident and I ask why, there's always a reason. It's because I'm supposed to go out a body and help healing. You know, I have a mission there. And it's very rare that I ever get caught in traffic behind an accident. Very rare.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is interesting. You're kind of if you're not supposed to get stuck there, you go off a different direction, and you might not even know why you did that. But then later on, you find out that going off a different direction saved you from spending 3 hours in traffic. So, but it's very interesting. Well, we're coming up to the end of our hour. Would you like to give our audience a little bit of your contact information again, including the book? I did want to mention that we have interviewed Ivan before, so that if you go to www.plasticos.com, go to Resources and Radio, or just Google Temple of Health, Ivan Rados, the last interview will come up, because we interviewed him on his book, and you can listen to that hour, too. It's very fascinating. So you've got you want to give your contact information?
Oh, yes. I forgot the track of time. www.ivanrados.com, IvanRados.com. So you will find all the information there, and you can purchase the books. I've got 4 or 5 books. And also I've got, a meditation, breathing meditation with sacred geometry. That's my new project. And very soon I will have another 2 books coming. It's called Middle Way, The Middle Way, to Meditation. And 6th book will be just practical aspects of The Middle Way. So, and also you can look for my books at namastepublishing.com or at your local store, you know, wherever you are, you know, from America to Australia. So,
right.
Yeah, people can contact me, they can write an email, they can be in touch with me. I'm here and I'm now available always wherever I am.
That's great. And you have your you have a lecture schedule up there too?
Oh yes, I have plans to go to California, Colorado, New York State, having workshops. Health is all about consciousness, and I'm doing a regular workshop from my town, Vancouver. So next month, at the end of the month, I will have another workshop, and other workshops on sacred geometry, how to heal oneself, how to meditate with sacred geometry, yantras. That will be announced from our website.
Great. Well, we really appreciate you joining us today. It was a fascinating discussion. We talked about all sorts, not just sacred geometry, but about the changes coming up in 2012 and all sorts of great information about consciousness, meditation, and some real wonderful tools that you can use. These are these sacred geometry cards. Transform your life through sacred geometry. And I love these cards. I think they're wonderful. And I appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
All righty. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. In March, we will be having a One Path Summit meeting, which you can get information about that on the internet here in Atlanta. I think Suzanne Summers is the keynote speaker. There's a number of other speakers discussing alternative holistic medicine, other things that are good to know. The information can be found on One Path Summit, Atlanta, Georgia. If you Google that, you can find all of the dates and the information that you need for that. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Thank you for joining us.